I am Judith Krupnik, president of Cherry Hill Volvo. As the store's owner, I want our clients treated with respect. I want our employees to have extensive product knowledge and be genuinely engaged with our clients. Our pricing is competitive, but our client attention is second to none. When considering a new car, consider Cherry Hill Volvo. Contact me directly. Relationships really do matter to us.
Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
I'm Judith Krupnik, president of Cherry Hill Volvo. Our team thanks you for downloading the Rich Zeoli podcast. Relationships matter to all of us. At Cherry Hill Volvo, we will work to gain your trust, your confidence, and in turn, develop a relationship with you, the Rich Zeoli listener.
60 minutes of nonstop talk on the Rich Zeoli podcast.
Joe Biden plummets in the newest polls. Plummets, that's right, in the Pennsylvania primary polls. And, of course, the big question coming up is whether or not Bernie Sanders is going to walk away with it in South Carolina. Among other questions today, welcome back to the show. Glad you're here. The Zeoli Show on Twitter at Rich Zeoli and Facebook.com/Zeoli Show. Now, look, here's the deal. First of all, Joe Biden claimed he was arrested in South Africa trying to see Nelson Mandela. However, it's not exactly what happened here. That's not exactly what happened. So we'll get to that. And then also, Bernie Sanders flat out denied he was a capitalist. Some of the questions that are still being asked over the debate the other night. Ask yourself this question, right? And this is a big question here. Is Elizabeth Warren, does she want to become president or does she just hate Michael Bloomberg so much that she just, no matter what, just wants him to lose? That's a question James Carville asked, by the way. And James Carville is a very smart guy, as you know. I'll play that audio for you as well. But first, I want to begin with this. Last night, Mayor Bloomberg, the Manny of the United States of America, the male nanny, he was on TV and they're doing a CNN town hall, which started at 7 o'clock, I believe, and went till midnight. Is that right?
So they had, it was four different candidates, 7, 8, 9, and 10. So it ended at 11. And then they...
So it started, what, 6 p.m. and went to 11 p.m.?
7 p.m.
7 p.m. to 11 p.m.
Yes.
So where was the Lester Cuomo in all this? Was he part of this?
The Lester Cuomo did his, I believe, he talked to Biden, because I remember pulling clips. He had ashes on his head, so I remember seeing that.
Oh, he had ashes on his head.
So I think it was Biden he was
okay, on. He had Biden on.
Yeah.
All right.
And Anderson Cooper, I think, had Bloomberg.
Nobody watched this, so I have to play some. No, nobody watched this entire mess.
When you emailed me last night and you were watching this, I was just like, I thought to myself, I'm like, wow, he's really watching this, huh?
Well,
that's why everybody relies on Zeoli, so they don't have to watch it.
I suffer through this for you. Suffer fools for you. Well, this is last night, first of all, Bloomberg on CNN, CNN Town Hall. There's a couple of cuts I sent to Greg. Let's start with this, though. He was asked about guns. Cut 11.
Whether you like it or not, the Second Amendment gives you the right to bear arms. The Supreme Court has said there are reasonable restrictions that we can put on that privilege without violating the Constitution. The reasonable privileges include things like having background checks so you don't sell guns to minors, to people with psychiatric problems, or people with criminal records. And if you did that and just took 24 hours to go through the background check, you would make a very big difference in this country. Let me give you the numbers. This year, 40,000 people will be shot with illegal and legal handguns. Forget about the assault weapons, which is another disgrace. We shouldn't be selling assault weapons to the average person. They're designed for the military to kill as many people as possible. They're not used for going out and hunting. The last time I saw a deer with a flak jacket was a long time ago. So you really have
all
to
right,
focus on
this. It's another one of his
this.
Dumb and scripted jokes that bombed. Deer in a flak jacket. You moron. All right, let's get something straight here. The Second Amendment is not for hunting deer. The Second Amendment is not for skeet shooting off a cruise ship. The Second Amendment is for self-defense, and the people's right to have the Second Amendment is not something that the Supreme Court gave us. It's in the Bill of Rights. Our rights come from our Creator. We are endowed with the right of self-protection. And a big part of that self-protection is because the people, we the people, have to protect ourselves from tyranny. Right? That's why we have the Second Amendment. It's not to hunt deer, and whether or not deer wear flak jackets or not is irrelevant, you idiot. But that's a dumb joke he made. His advisors wrote that joke for him, right?
Absolutely.
Here, Mayor, go out and say this. This will knock them dead.
They're not used for going out and hunting. And the last time I saw a deer with a flak jacket was a long time ago.
Yeah. Does that clip end right there?
No. I thought you wanted, like we did yesterday, you wanted silence at the end of it.
That's a good call, but doesn't he make like a weird sound after that? Like almost like he was expecting laughter?
Well, let me try it.
They're not used for going out and hunting. And the last time I saw a deer with a flak jacket was a long time ago. So you really have to
He was
focus
waiting
on-
for the laughs.
He was. There was a pause there.
Is this thing on? He was
the last time I saw a deer with a flak jacket was a long time ago. So you really have to focus on this. And if you have background checks, and let me step back for a second. The federal law requires you to have a background check before you can buy a gun in this country if you buy it from a gun store. So the gun rights activists would say, oh, you're going to take away my freedoms. No, right now you can't go into a gun store and buy it, a gun, if you have a psychiatric problem, you're a criminal or a minor. And in fact, what my organization has done is we sent undercover people into these stores to see whether or not they would insist on a background check. And when they didn't, we sued them. And you can measure the fact that they've really done something.
You know what Bloomberg thinks? He thinks that people who sell guns are criminals, too. You notice that? That's what he thinks, too. First of all, let's get a couple things straight. The Second Amendment is not a privilege. It's not a privilege. It's a right. There's a difference there. Driving is a privilege. The Second Amendment is a right. That's number one. Now, with stop and frisk, he blamed the NYPD yesterday, which I noticed. I said, well, goodbye to the FOP endorsement. Not that he would get it anyways. The cops love Trump, but... blaming the NYPD for stop and frisk. His policies, by the way, cut 12.
You continued to defend this policy, though, for years. Just 18 months ago, which is 5 years after you were mayor, you told the New York Times, quote, it was a technique that was appropriate at the time. To a lot of people, and I think some people in the audience tonight, it seems like you only had a change of heart when you decided to run for president.
The process, it's not true. Look, if there is an incident, a shooting or something, the police show up and they would check to make sure that nobody there has a gun. There's still all cops are going to do that. They want to make sure we're safe and that there's nobody that's a shooter that's going to do other things. Here, what happened is we did it too much, and we did it so much that we lost some sense of how many people we should stop and who was likely to have.
A judge said it was unconstitutional.
She said that we applied it in the wrong ways, but not that the practice was unconstitutional. Because I don't want to get down in the weeds and talk about it. We made a mistake. We did too much of it. And I cut it back to almost zero, and we're not doing it again. Our current police department does the same thing. I read an article the other day in New York City. It had gone up, but only a little, in all fairness.
The idea that it was the NYPD and Bloomberg reined them in. It was his policy, his policies, just like cracking down on people selling loose cigarettes. That's Bloomberg's policy, too. That's his policy. Those are his policies. The police are enforcing his policies. Yet he blames the cops, the ones who are doing the enforcement. That's amazing right there. He also defended China's Communist Party system last night on the CNN town hall. Cut 14.
Last night, you were criticized by someone on the stage.
I'm shocked. I was criticized.
So it seemed that you might have noticed that.
I got to tell you a story real fast. Hang on. Because he annoys me with these dumb jokes. I'll tell you a story. Years ago, I was in New York City. I was at WABC, and I was trying out for a shift there at WABC, 7:70 a.m. in New York, right? And I had a meeting with somebody who was a program director at the time, and Bloomberg was there. He was doing his Ask the Mayor show back then. You remember that show we used to do?
Yes.
And it was
that's where we're getting a lot of those old clips from, from him, of you know, some of the stuff that he's said about, you know, African American males,
right,
on that show.
So he was there, and he, I'm leaving, and I'm with somebody else, and he's walking by, right? He's got his bodyguards with him, the cops or his security detail. And I'm not a tall guy. He's a little about my height, probably a little bit shorter. I think he wears lifts anyway. And somebody said to him, "Oh, Mr. Mayor, you're doing a great job." And he goes, "Oh, so you're the one." And he waited for everybody to be like, "Oh, it's hysterical." And I think he makes these dumb jokes all the time. And I think that if you're on his staff, you have to laugh at them.
God.
That's what I think. I think you gotta, because he thinks he's funny.
Yeah, so he's convinced himself, because he surrounds himself with yes men. He's convinced himself he's funny.
Exactly.
Wow. He,
that's what I think it is, because he makes all these little, you know, jokes, and then he waits. Like, is that good? Good. Oh, that was great, sir. That was great. You know what I mean? Ah, you killed with that. You killed.
Oh God.
That's the only thing I can think of. He's dumb
worst.
Jokes all the time.
He's the worst.
He started last night with a dumb joke as well. But anyway, he defends the Communist Party in China. I didn't get the gig at WABC, by the way. Obviously.
Well, I mean,
the guy who did is not on the radio anymore, so I'm not worried about it. It's a good thing. Everything happens for a reason, as they say. Go ahead.
Is that station still around?
You might have noticed that because you had said that the Chinese leader is not a dictator. Do you stand by that?
Well, it's a question of what you did. What is a dictator? They don't have a democracy in the sense that they have general elections. That is true. They do have a system where a small group of people appoint the head. And they churn over periodically. If you go back and look at the last two or three decades, there have been a number of people that have had the same position that Xi Jinping has. I think the question is, if your definition is a democracy where people vote and pick their leaders, and that is not what China's about, and they don't seem to want it. They like their system, and I think they're wrong.
Oh,
I think
they'd be better. Wait. Who's they, by the way, Bloomberg? The people? Do the people have a choice?
They like their system.
They like their system. Oh, because if they don't, what happens to them? Out of curiosity. What happens if they don't like it?
Oh, boy.
Is he really saying to that, that people like their system in China?
Yes.
Well, I guess that he read, they took a poll. You know, they took a poll. They went house to house like, excuse me, Chinese resident, do you like, oh, yes.
They got,
like, what are you going to say?
That's right, Dawn. It's like you hear Bloomberg go, 100% of the people in this poll said they love their system. They love Xi. They
with
love the
gun
guy.
To their head.
Right. Because if you don't love the system in China, how does that work out for you exactly? Does he honestly believe with a straight face, people are going to believe that? They seem to like it? My God. North Korea, they love Kim Jong-un. They love it.
Love him.
They love it. They don't want to change.
Nope.
Wow. All right.
They like their system, and I think they're wrong. I think they'd be better off opening things up, having freedom of the press, which they don't have, having lots of different cultures come in. That's the great strength of America. They don't seem to think that. And I think we should work as hard as we can to change that. But you're not going to go to war and try to force them. It is the second biggest economic power, and we should get used to the fact that China is going to keep growing and become stronger, and we have to figure out a ways to work with them while protecting our industries and protecting our country militarily.
Now, that's not the dumbest thing that was said.
Sorry.
I'm sorry. By the way, I don't have the ability to work these sound clips, but there was a great suggestion on social media. I want to do a check-in real fast on social media, brought to you by our great friends at Cherry Hill Vavo, where relationships matter. And happy birthday to Judith. Today's her birthday. She's a great friend of the show, a wonderful friend of the show, by the way. Eric Reynolds on Twitter says, Rich, I need to hear Elizabeth Warren's hello after that Bloomberg pause.
I can work that over here.
All right, we'll work that over here. We also had a suggestion yesterday in another post that said, can we please have Bloomberg and Warren Biden and Warren in a hello off?
Oh.
Do you remember Biden at the debate yesterday?
With that? Hello.
Yeah, so we need to do like a hello off.
Hello.
Oh, man. That is brutal. Brutal.
And what was the other one?
Can we hear after Bloomberg's joke that bombs? Can we hear Warren's hello?
Yeah, which cut was the joking.
And I'll mention, too, Kevin McCardle on Twitter says, Rich, Mini Mike, refer to the Second Amendment as a privilege. A right is a right. Exactly, Kevin. Thank you.
Whether you like it or not, the Second Amendment gives you the right to bear arms. The Supreme Court for going out and hunting. And the last time I saw a deer with a flak jacket was a long time ago.
Hello?
Oh, yeah, that's good. That's good audio right there. I like that. No, Bloomberg thinks it's a privilege that he can take away from you. A privilege, like a big gulp. A privilege, like a donut made with trans fats. A privilege. And that's what he views it as. He doesn't really view it as a right. Because nanny staters don't believe you have rights. The reason why he defends China, at Mike Bloomberg's heart, there's a clip of him, a very famous clip of him saying that these kind of taxes, like soda taxes and other things, they keep the poor people from spending their money on things that aren't good for them. Like Bloomberg believes that government is smarter than you and they should tell you how to live your life. And you see that playing out in Philly, right, with the safe injection site. You know, they know best that this neighborhood should have one, whether they like it or not. They know best. It's the same mindset. It's the same nanny mindset. And Bloomberg is the ultimate nanny, and that's why I call him the manny, because he's a man. He's a man nanny, so he's the manny. 855-839-1210. 855-839-1210.
The Rich Zeoli Show on your schedule. This is the Zeoli Show podcast.
Aha, yes. Joe Biden. Last night during the town hall meeting, any concerns about Trump refusing to leave office can be taken seriously. This idea that Trump would lose and then not leave the White House, and he would just bombard himself inside the White House and not leave the building, I guess. Cut 15.
Sir, what is your plan if Trump loses but refuses to concede based on allegations?
I'm glad they laughed at that question because it's a stupid question, is it not? Refuses to leave the White House. I'm not going. I'm staying in the blue room.
This has been a theme on Bill Maher's show for the last few months.
Has it really?
Yeah. He brings it up to every Democratic candidate that he talks to and says, what is your plan if he doesn't lose or if he doesn't leave?
But do they understand the White House is just a building? It doesn't make you president.
I think.
Do they think you have to walk into the White House to actually become the president? Is that what they think in their mind? I'm trying to understand this.
I think Bill Maher is just trying to say something provocative that gets an interesting answer. Because he's a smart guy. He knows.
Because how would it play out?
Yeah.
I'm the president. I lose. And I go, well, you know what? I'm staying. And the people are like, okay. Yeah, I'm not leaving. All right. But the new president's getting inaugurated next week. Yeah, it doesn't matter. I'm still president. All right. Well, listen, I'm going to send my resume out because I got to get another job. And, so I'm going to shoot the old resume out. Can I get a recommendation letter, Mr. President? Why? I'm not leaving. OK, right. But just on the off chance this doesn't work out well, you barricading yourself in the White House. I got kids to feed. So can I, like, how does it play out exactly? I'm the new president. I get inaugurated. I'm a commander in chief at that point. I need to get this guy out of the White House. At that point, what would he be called? A squatter. Which in D.C., actually, you have rights as a squatter.
Oh,
so
oh my goodness.
Trump would be able to stay there as long as he wanted.
6 months, actually. You have 6 months to leave a resident.
Six months. All right, so.
Wait, so Ivanka, Jared.
They can all stay.
Well, they don't
Melania.
Live in the White House. Only Trump and Melania do.
Okay.
Right? So only the residents of the White House, the first family.
And Barron. They could be squatters for 6 months.
Yeah, I'm not leaving. I got 6 months. I'm a squatter. I get squatter's rights. Excuse me.
Oh, my God.
Squatter's rights.
My father-in-law is a landlord. He deals with this all the time. 6 months they have.
That's wow. Unbelievable.
Where they can do nothing about it. It's they don't have to pay nothing.
That would be great. Let's say, for example, Bloomberg's president. And Trump's a squatter in the residence. He can come down and just go, Mini Mike, did they raise the desk for you? And then like run back up to the residence. That would be worth it. Trump the squatter, right? Come down and go, can you see over the Resolute desk if you need help? And then, you know, he just like run back to the residence. I'm not leaving. Walk out onto the portico, you know, the Truman balcony and go, still not leaving. Five more months. Got 5 months.
There's a countdown clock. It's like kick him out.
It's like kick him out. DC squatter laws.
Oh my gosh.
I mean, really. So I win the election. I'm the president of the United States now. I guess what they're saying is that if Trump decided to stay, the military would decide to back him, I guess, and then not back the new president. And then in which case you'd have what would be effectively now a civil war, a coup d'etat. I'm not exactly sure what's going to occur, but that's what they're saying, right? That's ultimately at the heart of it is going to be who's enforcing the transfer of power. And so, I mean, in the entire history of this country, even during a civil war, we've never had an issue with the transfer of power, right? Never. But this time around, they're going to go, well, Trump said he's president, so we're gonna listen to him and not the guy who won the election. Does anybody believe that?
No. What I interpret from Bill Maher, especially with that Bannon interview he did, Bill Maher is convinced, as you know, you are, a lot of experts are, that Trump will easily win re-election. So I think that's when he says he's not going to leave, he means he's going to be re-elected.
Yeah.
Which in his mind is like, he's not going to leave.
Excuse me. 2 months left of squatter's rights. Bring the eggs.
Yeah, do they have to provide
they gotta feed
the food?
Yeah.
No, wait. They could just get the giant pea pod to deliver. No,
right. Yeah, giant will deliver. Or every day be like, is my pizza here yet? Or Uber Eats showing up at the White House with McDonald's for him? Uber Eats every day. Big Mac meal. Oh. Did Barron get the Happy Meal? Every day. Uber Eats. And just to tick Bloomberg off, he would get the biggest drinks he could.
Bingo.
Brought to the White House. Just to tick Bloomberg off. Well, let's hear the stupidity of this question and then the stupidity of Joe Biden's answer.
Sir, what is your plan if Trump loses but refuses to concede based on allegations by his supporters of irregularities and he refuses to step down as president based on those allegations?
I'm going to ask you all a rhetorical question. It's a serious question, serious concern. Ever think in your lifetime, no matter how young or old you are, any person would be able to ask that question to be taken seriously? No, I'm not joking.
Hillary asked it.
Our democracy is at risk. 4 years of this guy, the way he has treated the military, the way he has dismissed the intelligence community, the way he has absolutely undercut the FBI, the way he has gone after all these, I have no worry about him being escorted out of the White House.
Not unusual for the President of the United States to watch our town halls. Hearing something like that, communicating
he's
to
not,
the audience
Cuomo,
obviously
listen,
important.
Lesser.
I left that in there. Just
Lesser. Let's get something straight here. The President's not watching the town hall. Nobody's watching your town hall. All right, let's get that straight. Lesser Cuomo, please, in the Lesser town hall. So the president will be escorted out of the White House. What if he doesn't, though? What if he stays? You know how you get him? Land shark. The old Chevy Chase bit on Saturday Night Live. Go, Uber Eats. Grubhub, have your quarter pounder with cheese here. Oh, good. My food. And go down, open the door and go, land shark, and then grab him and then take him out. Pull him out of the White House. Actually, you know, Ted is in Swarthmore. He has an excellent suggestion. Yes, Ted, good morning.
Good morning, Rich. Great job as well, as usual. Hey, Donald Trump just nearly needs to appease all the Democrats and make the White House a safe injection site.
Yeah,
because
that's
brilliant. Sure none of them would have a problem with that.
I love it. That's what he could do. He could say, if he loses, go, well, it's now a safe injection site. You know, I've got 3 months now, and I'm going to make it a safe injection site. And then what are they going to do? I love it. Good job,
no,
Ted.
They would. They would love it.
Good job. Thanks, buddy. One. Appreciate it. Let's Stuart's in Easton. Yes, Stuart. Hello. Good morning.
Rich, good morning.
Hey.
Good morning, Rich. How are you?
Good, buddy.
Good. Hey, I'm getting really tired of the Dems every election cycle. They come out and it's all the scary guns. Oh, the assault weapons. Deers haven't worn a flak jacket.
Right.
Well, these assault weapons, or quote-unquote assault weapons, come out in so many different calibers. It's if you're any type of sporting person, gun person, hunting person, you should be able to see through this in a heartbeat.
Well, I can't imagine anybody who supports the Second Amendment for a second backing Mike Bloomberg. I can't. How could
you? No, it's ridiculous. It's ridiculous. Not to mention some of the other things he said. You know, he's going to the trans fat, the soda ban. What the hell else is he going to ban?
Not safe injection sites.
Ridiculous.
Stuart, thanks for the call, buddy. I appreciate it. Yeah, look, here's the deal. I mean, Bloomberg, the joke about the deer in the flak jacket, it's stupid, but it also confirms a thought that these guys have, which is that guns are for hunting and guns are for skeet shooting. I remember years ago, Scott Pelley on the CBS Evening News asked Joe Biden, what sort of sporting purpose does a semi-automatic rifle have? And Joe Biden said, none whatsoever. Exactly. Guns are not for sport. Guns are not for sport. Soccer balls are for sport. Guns are not for sport. Guns are for protection, self-defense. That's what guns are for. Guns are not for sport. Now, you can use them for sport, but that's not what they're for. That's the difference right there in the mentality. The mentality of a guy like Bloomberg is, and a guy like Biden, all these other Democrats, is that guns are for hunting purposes. Guns are for sport and recreation purposes. No, they're not. Those are other uses for them. Those are what we'd say off-label uses. Like you have a prescription drug and they go, well, the off-label use also treats this. Guns are for self-defense, period. If you also choose to use it to hunt an animal, fine. But you don't have to. You can use a bow and arrow, right? Or you could use a knife. You want to be like Rambo. But and you can shoot a gun off a cruise ship, you know, and if you're quarantined with the coronavirus and you can't leave. But that's not the purpose of it. We didn't fight a revolution because our founders wanted to do more skeet shooting. We didn't fight a revolution because our founders felt like their hunting rights were being limited. That's not what this is about. And it's not a privilege. It's a right. Period.
Thanks for taking the Zeoli Show with you. Rich Zeoli. Weekday mornings on Talk Radio 1210 WPHD.
Now, the town hall meetings were a mess last night, by the way. Bill, what was the story you said there was a year ago, a story of what? Are you there, Millennial?
Yes, sorry. So there was a fascinating article about squatting. This guy named Jay Bachman, I believe it was. And he would go on this. He did it to several houses. He would just go around squatting and get people to just leave their apartments because they would just not want to deal with this guy anymore because of his squat. Jameson Bachman was his name. And this woman finally got him caught because she posted an ad on Craigslist and it went viral. It's a fascinating piece from about a year ago or maybe 2 years ago now. It was in New York Magazine that just reminded me of that when we were talking about squatting.
Okay. Well, thanks for letting me know about that. I appreciate it. I'm glad I deviated from the topic to find out about that amazing story about squatting rights. Thank you, Bill.
I tried. Well, it was kind of relevant when we were talking about it.
So Bloomberg can be like Jay Bachman.
Yeah.
I mean, Trump, and just go around squatting in different places in D.C. Mm-hmm. Maybe he can occupy Nancy Pelosi's office.
Right.
And squat there.
Yeah. Just go around taking over all of these.
The first thing you would have to do, though, is you have to walk in with holy water and just start, right. You know, like they do garlic. At church dawn with that, with the smoke and everything.
Yes.
855-839-1210. 855-839-1210. Now, listen, Bloomberg is a nut when it comes to guns. He's an absolute Second Amendment authoritarian. And he's also saying stupid things that are not going to help him in Pennsylvania. He's number two in the polls in Pennsylvania right now. Yes, Bernie's number one and Bloomberg is number two. Now, this kind of stuff is not going to play well in Pennsylvania. Cut 13.
We love and respect nature and our climate since it surrounds us. But our city is prone to extensive flooding. If elected, what steps would you take to ensure that coastal cities like Charleston are not underwater in 10, 20 or 30 years from now?
Well, Bloomberg Philanthropies, working with the Sierra Club, is trying to close all of the coal-fired power plants in this country. That's one of the first steps. Coal is a very polluting kind of fuel, although natural gas is not all that much better, but somewhat better. So far, we have closed, or in the process of closing, I think it's 304 out of the 530 coal-fired power plants in this country. So we're like 60% there already, and we have a plan. I think we will get it done in the next 5 years of getting almost all of the coal-fired power plants. If you can do that, that's the biggest thing you can do to reduce greenhouse gases. And in the United States, we brought greenhouse gases down, I think it's like 14% already, just based on that. But we also do a lot of work trying to encourage people to behave responsibly. If you want to do something for the climate, turn off your air conditioner when you leave in the morning if there's nobody home. You'll save a lot of energy, and that's, you're going to save the greenhouse gases that come from producing that energy. Paint your roof white.
Paint your roof white.
We had this in New York City, Al Gore and I.
That would be beautiful for the neighborhood.
Buildings, and we had these rollers, and we were painting. And people laughed at us, but
because it's a stupid idea.
Off the sun reduces the need for energy to cool your house. And if you fly over New York City now, and if I'm wrong, it's by one or two every five blocks. Almost every single building has been painted white.
Can't see it. The whole city. You fly over, it looks like an invisible city. Whole city's white now. Painted it all white.
Can I skip ahead on this for a second?
Sure.
Because he talks. It's not in the clip, or it's not in.
Don, you need a new roof. Just get a white roof. Have Emmons put a white roof on your house.
A white roof.
That's it.
It's not in your cut sheet, but he talks about the end of the world and when it's coming.
Oh, good.
And his is actually a lot closer than everybody else's.
I hope so. I
mean, this is not something that was going to happen 2050, which some people talk about, or even 2040. The numbers are coming in so much worse than all of the scientists had predicted. You should be talking about 2030,
wow,
which is only 10 years from now,
wow,
9 years from now, for an awful lot of those things.
Good. 10 years till we're all underwater. I love it. Fantastic, right?
Good God.
Man, these people are doom and gloom. So paint your house white, and we'll have a sea of white buildings all across America. That's the answer to climate change. Got it?
I don't know why. Like, at some point, people are just, you know, going to go, well, like, if I'm in school, why am I in school? If I'm at work, why, you know, why not just go out and party or be with your family?
Yeah.
If the world is ending in a decade, let's all just, you know.
Drink up.
Yeah.
Drink up, lady. My liver can last 10 years.
Tell you,
Do you know
what I mean, though?
Yeah.
It's like,
why am I being a responsible adult and saving for retirement if the world's going to end in 10 freaking years?
They better be careful on this one.
That's a great point.
We should all go in on a yacht since we're not.
Might as well.
Yeah, I know.
Might as well. I mean, what the hell, right? You got 10 years left?
Yeah.
Party like it's 1999. I mean, why not?
10 years left. 2030.
855-839-1210. Did you hear Hillary Clinton throw everybody under the bus, by the way, on Harvey Weinstein? Harvey Weinstein gave the Clintons millions and millions of dollars over the years, but listen to her. She throws everybody under the bus here. Cut two.
Well, I think that the jury's verdict really speaks for itself. And it is obviously something that people have looked at and followed because it was time for an accounting. And the jury clearly found that. Well, it's true. He contributed to every Democrat's campaign. He contributed to Barack Obama's campaign and John Kerry's campaign and Al Gore's campaign and everybody's campaign. I don't know whether that should chill anyone else from contributing to political campaigns, but it certainly should end the kind of behavior that he was just convicted for.
There you go. You like that? Throws everybody, every Democrat under the bus. Unbelievable.
Naming names.
Yeah, well, of course.
I mean, like, she just said, yeah, he was a big Democratic donor.
Yeah.
But
yeah.
No, she's like Barack Obama.
Obama, Biden, this guy, that guy, everybody.
Her
everybody.
Buddies.
All her friends.
Oh, my God.
It's absolutely amazing.
She's angry.
She's so angry, right?
You know, it's a woman scorned right there.
Speaking of angry, Pelosi was very angry yesterday regarding the coronavirus. Did we don't have any audio of the vampiric one, do we?
Yeah, 17B.
Oh, great. This is the vampiric one on the president's efforts on coronavirus.
We have a proposal. The Senate has a proposal. We'll have something similar, which addresses the need for the professionals to be in place. The president let go a couple of years ago, never replaced them. This is shameful. Puts forth a proposal now that is meager, anemic, in terms of addressing. Is what with Ebola we did $5 billion. Now they're trying to take the Ebola money and spend it here. So what he's doing is late, too late, anemic. Hopefully we can make up for the loss of time, but it'll have to have the professionals in place, the resources that are adequate. and not be giving, using scare tactics about people coming back to our country.
Now, the president did something very smart yesterday because, you know, there's a lot of this question right now, 855-839-1210, as we do nonstop talk here on the Zioli Show. A lot of question about whether or not there's the media is overplaying this corona stuff because they're trying to scare people so that we get scared and then we stop spending money and the economy tanks and Trump loses. Because I'm telling you right now, if the economy tanks and goes into some major recession, a lot of people would take a sigh of relief because then they would think that they have a chance of beating Donald Trump. And that's the truth. And you know it. And we've seen all of these various government agencies with three initials, whether it's the FBI, the DOJ, the NSA, the CIA, the DIA, I could go on, actively opposing this president. We've seen this. You know, early on, this was the stuff of conspiracy stuff. And we know now people in the FBI, like Peter Strzok and Lisa Page, Department of Justice, NSA with that you know, Clapper, Brennan, DIA, CIA. We know that these people were actively working to undermine the president. So is that out of the realm of possibility that there would also be bureaucrats at the CDC? You know, why does that three-letter agency get a pass? It shouldn't. The question is, are they trying to scare people? Because if you get scared and the stock market gets scared and everything tanks and there's a recession, then Trump could lose. That's the bottom line. And they know that. And is it possible that bureaucrats there might be trying to oversell this so that you freak out? Sure, anything's possible, right? So the president did something very smart yesterday. He held a press conference. Cut 17.
What is your response to Speaker Pelosi, who said earlier today you don't know what you're talking about the coronavirus? I'm also wondering if you want to address critics who think you can't be trusted about what your administration is saying.
Sure. I think Speaker Pelosi's incompetent. She lost the Congress once. I think she's going to lose it again. She lifted my poll numbers up 10 points. I never thought that I would see that so quickly and so easily. I'm leading everybody. We're doing great. I don't want to do it that way. It's almost unfair if you think about it. But I think she's incompetent, and I think she's not thinking about the country. And instead of making a statement like that, where I've been beating her routinely at everything, instead of making a statement like that, she should be saying we have to work together because we have a big problem potentially, and maybe it's going to be a very little problem. I hope that it's going to be a very little problem, but we have to work together. Instead, she wants to do that same thing with crying Chuck Schumer. He goes out and he says, the president only asked for $2.5 billion. He should have $8.5 billion. This is the first time I've ever been told that we should take more. Usually it's we have to take less. And we should be working together. He shouldn't be making statements like that because it's so bad for the country. And Nancy Pelosi, I mean, she should go back to her district and clean it up because it's the number one. If you look at percentage down, that was one of the finest in the world. And now you look at what's happening. And I'm just saying we should all be working together. She's trying to create a panic. And there's no reason to panic because we have done so good. These professionals behind me and over here and over there and back here and in some conference rooms. I just left a group of 45 people that are the most talented people in the world. Parts of the world are asking us in a very nice way, can they partake and help them? So Nancy Pelosi shouldn't. And she knows it's not true. She knows all they're trying to do is get a political advantage. This isn't about political advantage. We're all trying to do the right thing.
You know, one thing that I should mention to you, by the way, is that when Nancy Pelosi uses the word anemic, she knows what she's talking about because you can't prey on anemic people. The blood level is way too low. Did you know that? You can't prey on them?
No.
Yeah, of course, because anemia is, you got, it's like low red blood cell count. So
yeah, low iron.
Low iron. So low energy. It's a low energy meal for a vampire. anemics. I hate them. This is anemic. 855-839-1210. I should also let you know there's some great tweets today as we check in on social media. Somebody recommended the movie Pacific Heights. You ever see that one, Bill, as a squatter movie?
No.
Oh, that's a great one. Michael Keaton, I think, is a bad guy in that, right?
Great movie.
Great movie.
Michael Keaton. Yeah, he plays a bad guy in it. It's a great movie.
Yeah.
That came out a long time ago.
Yeah, Pacific Heights. I think, I feel like, is it not Meg Ryan? What's your name? Was Melody Griffith? Is she in that movie too? I think with them.
I can't remember.
It was like him. It was like her and Bill Paxton or Bill Pullman. I always confuse those guys. Anyway, that was a good movie about squatters' rights. Sid asked if the president would be the SQUOTUS. I'm sorry, Lego asked that. Would he be SQUOTUS, squatter of the United States? SQUOTUS. and Sid asked a question to me as Rotus. He calls me radio host of the United States. He asked me, shouldn't all these plastic needles, like in self-injection sites, be banned because they're plastic?
Oh, that's right.
Right?
They are, yeah, they're plastic.
Right?
That's
so,
true.
You know,
you're
we're
right,
banning,
Melanie Griffith was in that.
If we're banning single-use plastic bags, Dawn, shouldn't we also ban single-use plastic needles too?
What would they make them out of, though?
I don't know. Paper? Like straws? The other question, too, was if we're going to paint all these buildings, rooftops white, why do we keep painting our roads black?
Yeah, shouldn't they be white?
Shouldn't they be white, too?
Have you ever seen white rooftops? I've never seen those.
No, it's
ugly.
Awful.
Yeah.
In Florida, they do that.
Do they?
Yeah.
I don't
think it reflects the sun as opposed to absorbing it.
Well, that's Bloomberg's answer. White paint. That's his answer.
That's going to stop the end of the world.
That'll stop the end of the world. 855-839-1210. Thanks to Cherry Hill Volvo for that check-in on social media. Hey, it's a good opportunity for us to do the movie clip of the day because I just mentioned the movie. We know what the movie tomorrow is going to be. If you're paying attention.
The Morning Mystery Clip on Talk Radio 1210 WPHT.
Macabre is only spread through direct human contact. Now, you said that yourself, Sam.
I know what I told you, but now I'm telling you we're facing a new strain.
What?
It spreads like the flu.
Impossible.
Fine. Go to the hospital, check it out yourself. Go without a mask, you'll see more clearly.
Think you know what it is? Be call at 12 at 855-839-1210, and you could win this great prize.
The great prize is tickets to the Atlantic City Boat Show. That's right, the Boat Show this weekend in Atlantic City. Go there, check it out. Great stuff. Boat Show, Boat Show. Get your tickets at acboatshow.com. All right. Francesca Farber says, every day that the stock market continues to sell off and people watch their 401ks tank, it's a win for the Democrats. The coronavirus is the new Russia narrative. Yeah, I mean, look, she's not wrong there, and I think that's the problem here is that if there's a recession, then it's very possible that people could vote for change because that's the thing about the economy. Old man Dudley says it's unlikely that the stock market decline will be blamed on Trump. It's the virus, not Trump. Even CNBC knows that. It's not about blame, though. I disagree with you. It's not about blame. If people hurt economically, people then tend to vote for the person who's not the incumbent. The blame is not the point. It's the reaction to people. That's the essence of the economy, stupid. It's not who gets the blame for it, just like it's not who gets the credit for it. But if there's a major recession, stock market tanks, people are, their 401ks are getting killed, they're not going to turn around and go, well, it's not Trump's fault. They're going to turn around and go, well, something has to change. That's the concern. That's the worry right there. That's the worry. And then, so are there people in this government agency, the CDC, trying to scare people? Look, anything's possible, right? Anything is possible without a question. So the president put Mike Pence in charge of the response to the coronavirus, which is terrific. 855-839-1210.
The Rich Zeoli Show on your schedule. This is the Zeoli Show podcast.
Greg has the movie for us. Greg, what is the name of the movie, sir? Greg.
Outbreak.
Yes, exactly right. Outbreak. Mm-hmm. All right. Good job, buddy. Congratulations. You're going to the boat
Thank
show.
You.
All right, thank you. See, there's a delay, I think. That's the problem. And all these calls, like, it's the same thing that keeps happening. It's like taking a second for them to hear me or something. You hear it, Bill? You hear what I'm talking about?
I will say, I'm going to have to talk to Greg after the show. We've talked about the screening process just getting progressively more difficult, and it's been...
It's the Russians.
It's the Russians.
It's been a bit of a pain today.
It's like taking the callers a second or two to hear me talk. That's an ongoing problem.
A lot more troll callers today too that I've had to swat away.
Well, the Bloomberg people, right?
Yeah,
right. That's what's happening, right?
Yeah.
Make sure you put them on. I want to argue with these people.
Okay, I want that guy to call back again that was trying to mock Dawn.
Greg's going
again.
No.
Guy was trying to mock who?
Dawn's laughing.
Oh yeah. Well, that guy was a jackass.
Yeah, I want him. Like I just had the guy on and he dropped before I could get him on.
Oh, he did. All right.
Coward.
Speaking of Dawn, why don't we say good morning to the Emmy Award-winning journalist, 13 Emmys.
Yes, good morning. For 41 degrees right now is the only show news sponsored by Nutrisystem. So President Donald Trump holding a live news conference yesterday, announcing, among other things, Vice President Mike Pence will lead the response to fight the coronavirus outbreak. 82,000 cases confirmed worldwide. CDC announcing first person in the U.S. to develop the disease who did not recently visit a foreign country where the virus was spreading. And and who did not have known contact with somebody infected with the virus. So CDC saying, yes, it's preparing for COVID-19, that's the official name, to spread more widely in the U.S. in the coming months. So Villanova University saying they're bringing students who are studying abroad in northern Italy home amid the coronavirus concerns. And a lot of municipalities, including Philadelphia, health departments, health officials meeting, coming up with a game plan. So we do have, since we talked about Villanova bringing students studying in Italy, I'll just say this day in history, February 27, 1964, Italian government officials and leaders asking for suggestions for how to fix the Leaning Tower of Pisa, which many consider a symbol for masculinity.
Is that what it is?
So, yes, it's a symbol
for masculinity. By the way, if you ever go to Italy, it's the worst tourist trap. Don't go there. I'm serious. Don't go there. It's the worst.
The worst?
Oh, man. There's a nice church there, but other than that, it's the worst. Yeah.
So astronomers say, we've been talking a lot about squatters, so I was looking for a squatter story. I found a great one. Astronomers say a cosmic squatter has invaded our planet's orbit. So it's a mini moon circling Earth.
It's named Bloomberg.
No, it can't be because it's 6 feet tall.
Ah, way too big. Way too big for that.
But this is extremely rare, so they're fascinated by it, and that's kind of gone viral. A lot of people looking at that.
You know, the Leaning Tower of Pisa, Dawn. Did you ever see the movie Superman Part 3?
Yes.
Do you remember when Superman got drunk and moved the Leaning Tower of Pisa?
It's like,
and then when he sobered up, he moved it back. Do you remember that?
Yes.
Just, I mean, that movie is just...
Superman 3.
It's the worst.
It's a total S show. Richard Pryor is in it, remember?
Yeah, there was a bad Superman that he fought.
Yeah, so bad Superman. So he wound up going to a bar and just doing shots, and he got drunk.
And you knew it was bad Superman because he had a little bit of a scruff,
right?
Yeah,
a little scruff. Then he beat up Clark Kent, remember? Yes. And then at the end, Clark Kent beats him and then becomes good again. And so he flies back to Italy and he moves the Leaning Tower of Pisa back to where it was. And little Italian guy there who had just made all these new little miniature statues of the Leaning Tower of Pisa in the gift shop. He now has to knock them all down. He goes, like yelling at Superman. Because he had all these new Pisa towers made up. Now he had to throw them all away. It's a Superman. That's like the best part of that movie.
That movie was so bad it was good. I think.
So bad it was good.
Yes.
Superman 3. Oh, man.
That wasn't Quest for Peace. No, that was 4.
No, that was 4, which was even worse. That's the one where Superman decided he was going to end nuclear weapons. He got all the nuclear weapons and threw them into the sun. Remember that?
Oh, man. They went downhill fast,
those movies. Holy cow. Anyway, I'm sorry.
So, Zioli Show News, sponsored by Nutrisystem. Make the resolution. Lose the weight with Nutrisystem for men. Just like Zioli did, he looks awesome. He lost more than 18 pounds in 4 months and kept it off. That's the key. Join today. When you buy your first month of food, you're going to get 1 month absolutely free. Go to Nutrisystem.com/radio. Get started. That's Nutrisystem.com/radio. The forecast, sponsored by Robin Ford from NBC 10 First Alert Weather. Back to winter today, a high of 42 degrees, but 50-mile-an-hour winds this afternoon. It remains wintry and partly sunny through Saturday, but then Sunday we see sunshine and at least 47 degrees. It's time to get great new 2019 leftover deals at Robin Ford's President's Day celebration. Savings up to $14,000 on new 2019 leftovers at RobinFord.com. For nearly 60 years, there's been no stopping the Robin. I'm Dawn Zioli, Show News, Radio.com.
Thank you, Dawn. Appreciate it. 855-839-1210 is our number. 855-839-1210. A black voter who voted for Obama and is now supporting Donald Trump gave an interview with the Wall Street Journal. I think his comments here are pretty cool. Cut 8.
John, I want to start with you. You were for Obama in 2008. I know you supported Donald Trump in 2016. Can you talk a little bit about what appeal to you about President Trump?
When I started looking at the Democratic Party and the Republican Party, it kind of seemed like our government lost touch with the people. And so I felt like many that, hey, we needed a bull in the china shop. And I didn't elect President Trump or support President Trump because he had coof, because he had etiquette. No, I wanted a gangster in the daggone White House.
I want to go to Howard and just talk about, you put your hand up kind of slow for Joe Biden. Are you completely sold on him, or are you weighing other people?
I'm a registered Democrat.
and Joe Biden would be my choice. But it doesn't mean that's who I'm going to vote for president in the election.
And so can you kind of walk us through, if it's Joe Biden versus Donald Trump in the general election, what your decision-making process would be?
As it stands now, Trump looks attractive. I've made it clear I don't like Trump, but I'm looking for what's best for the country. When it comes to trade, for a minute there, trade was looking pretty dim. But now it's starting to look a little brighter because he put demands down. And I consider that to be one of the things that I appreciate him for.
How about that, right? The reason why I'm playing this audio is because the black vote in South Carolina is what the media is obsessed with right now, with Joe Biden getting the black vote and whether or not the endorsement yesterday from Clyburn is going to help him get the black vote. And I'll tell you something now. Joe Biden is losing, plummeting in the polls in Pennsylvania right now. I looked over at the Pennsylvania president polls at 538, Nate Silver's site. Biden has gone from, in, you look back to June of 2019, he was at 42%. Today, right now, today where we sit, Joe Biden is at about 20%. So he's lost half his support as the election's gone on. And right now where he is today, he's in third place in Pennsylvania. Pennsylvania. Number one place, Bernie Sanders in Pennsylvania. Number two, Bloomberg. Number three, Joe Biden. How about that in Pennsylvania in the Democrat primary? So the issue of Russia and then who Russia's helping, obviously Bloomberg is going after Bernie Sanders on this. And during the debate, this issue came up about Russia helping Bernie Sanders. And Bloomberg's point on this, cut 18.
Do you think Senator Sanders' economy would be better for America than President Trump?
I think that Donald Trump thinks it would be better if he's president. I do not think so. Vladimir Putin thinks that Donald Trump should be president of the United States. And that's why Russia is helping you get elected, so you'll lose to him.
Let me tell Mr. Putin, okay, I'm not a good friend of President Xi of China. I think President Xi is an authoritarian leader. And let me tell Mr. Putin, who interfered in the 2016 election, try to bring Americans against Americans. Hey, Mr. Putin, if I'm president of the United States, trust me, you're not going to interfere in any more American elections.
I won't need you to. Because I would have won. So I wouldn't need your help anymore, is my point. Mr. Putin, all I need is for you to help me get elected and then we're done.
All right. Now, by the way, don't you think Putin would like Bernie because Bernie went to Russia for his honeymoon and vacation there?
Yeah.
I mean, he was in the Soviet Union drinking vodka, listening to Woody Guthrie, hanging out with everybody, right? Drinking vodka, doing shots, singing This Land Is Your Land, shirtless and drunk. I think Putin would like that very, very much. It's the way I look at it. But that's the question of whether or not now Mike Bloomberg is going to knock off Bernie Sanders. And I'm telling you right now, based on the polls, Bloomberg is number two everywhere, pretty much. He's pretty much everywhere number two in Super Tuesday states. I'm not talking about South Carolina. So he's number two now. This is the problem. And part of the problem is Bernie's people are nuts at a Myrtle Beach rally in South Carolina. Bernie's rally. People were asked how it feels to be a bunch of radicals. Really?
All right, Myrtle Beach. How does it feel to be a bunch of radicals, huh? A bunch of revolutionaries,
huh?
A bunch of socialists here in Myrtle Beach.
How about that?
I mean, you and I are very familiar with Myrtle Beach.
Yes.
How many socialists do you figure down their way? Like 10, maybe?
They had to fill the back room of a diner for that. All of you revolutionaries. And then, wait, we're going to take your breakfast order. Then we'll continue with the rally.
I mean, oh my God. You can't get a more pro-Trump
than South Carolina,
yes,
right?
Yeah,
he's going to crush it in South Carolina and Myrtle Beach.
Especially Myrtle Beach.
Yeah, down there, it's like Trump's America in Myrtle, yes, Beach. They love him down there. We go down there a lot. I mean, they do. It's true. Now, I should mention to you, Bernie Sanders back in 1981 on the Phil Donahue show. You remember Phil Donahue?
Yes.
Remember him? Did you know him? You probably... Well, no, he's... Well, is he dead or is he alive? Well, I don't even know.
No, he's alive.
Is he still alive?
He is, yeah.
He was a serious journalist at one point, right? Then he had that goofy show, and then he was married to Connie Chung or something like that.
No, that's Maury Povich.
Oh, it's Maury Povich. Right.
I mean, it's...
It's hard to keep track of all these people.
Phil Donahue was actually the... He was actually the first one to do that Jerry Springer, Oprah Winfrey type
show.
Oh,
that's right. Yes.
He was, like, he was the original
he
of
was
that,
the groundbreaking.
Of that, you know,
yeah.
Daytime S show type shows.
So Bernie was on with Phil Donahue in 1981. 1981.
Oh, boy.
Bernie's national television debut. Cut four.
But are you a capitalist?
No, I'm not a capitalist.
So you don't believe in the profit motive, free enterprise? If I have a better mousetrap, I make more money.
There's something to be said for free enterprise on a local level and the competition. But what we're happening in our society is we don't live in a free enterprise society. You live in a corporate capitalist society where in virtually every single industry you have giant multi-billion dollar corporations competing, driving the small businessman
out.
But
let's pretend it would work without all that kind of acquisition of power that is unfair and doesn't...
Do I believe that the profit motive is fundamental to human nature? The answer is no.
No, I don't. I'm not a capitalist. And let me just say, your show stinks.
It does.
No, I'm not a capitalist.
No, I'm not. That was a dumb question. 1981 on Phil Donahue's show. By the way, the reviews are in for the debate on Morning Joe. Joe and his wife, Mika, review the debate. Cut 10.
That was your Democratic presidential debate in Charleston, South Carolina last night. Really messy. Oh, 2 hours. Kind of a slugfest that spun wildly out of control, and it was really hard to even hear anyone talking. Good morning.
That was a mess.
Chaos. I mean, we talk over each other here, so we know a little thing or two about it, but that was a wreck.
Yeah. You've lost Joe and Mika. Right? You pretty much lost the whole store.
Yes.
Right there. Oh, man. I'll tell you what. 855-839-1210 is the number. Well, actually, we're not going to take calls because we're having some phone issues. I'm sorry about that. But you can tweet, you can Facebook, and we'll read some of those comments on the air. All right. Philadelphia is going to do safe injection sites. And the question, of course, of sanctuary cities. The courts have said, yes, the federal government can deny sanctuary cities like Philadelphia grant money. That's good. That's really, really good. So on Twitter at Rich Zioli and Facebook.com/Zioli Show. You could also email the show. Glenn says, black roofs matter. White roof buildings may take less energy to cool in the summer, but they take more energy to heat in the winter. In the north, heating takes a lot more energy than summer cooling. Black roofs matter.
Yes.
In response to Michael Bloomberg.
I love it.
Oh, that's why I said it depends on where you live. Like in Florida and warm climate places, it works.
Right. Black roofs matter, Dawn.
It does.
Don't be a roof racist, all right?
I'm not. I would never
You
be.
Are not. You would never be.
Never.
You would never be. Bill, you got a Facebook post for me?
Yes. Ellen, I believe that's how you say it, said, white roof, that's great in the summer, but what about winter when a dark roof would absorb the heat? We need a remote to change our roof colors.
Oh, I like that.
Yeah.
We're
going to
supply Americans with white paint and black paint.
Oh, that's good.
And we're going to have federal painters come and paint your house every... I can see Bloomberg creating, like Roosevelt had with the Civilian Conservation Corps and the Public Works programs. I can see Bloomberg having the Federal Paint Commission to come and paint people's roofs.
It's a new tax break.
Yeah.
Although right now we don't have a joblessness problem. That would only be...
But we would if he wins.
Oh, I see. Sorry.
But we would, Dawn. Oh, we would.
Hey, Rob Bradford here. I have set out on a mission with my good friends at FanDuel to prove what I have known for some time. Baseball isn't boring. Now I have a daily podcast to prove it with some of the most notable people in the baseball world screaming baseball isn't boring from the mountaintops, or at least agreeing to come on our show. Players, managers, GMs, and yes, even the commissioner of baseball, Rob Manfred. It has been a constant wave of baseball's most powerful voices. So join the revolution. Subscribe and soak in Baseball Isn't Boring. Listen on your Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts. You'll be glad you did.